For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. It's not the size of the church, but the heart of the church that God is looking at.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Laws of Spiritual Work and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
And today we're going to talk about Jesus and the laws of spiritual work in John chapter 4, verses 32 through 38. So if you would all like to turn to your to that chapter in your Bibles, we will read out of John 4, verses 32 through 38. The laws of spiritual work. The laws of spiritual work. You know, there's laws to everything. Amen? You drive your car, there's laws. You disobey those laws, there's consequences. May not happen the first time you do it, right? But you practice breaking the law, and sooner or later, you're in trouble. Well, that's what we're talking about with the laws pertaining to spiritual work. There are laws and there are lawbreakers, but when we obey the laws, we get a blessing. Praise the Lord. Okay, if everybody's there, let's please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Key verse is John chapter 4, verse 32 through 38. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version today. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we pray, O God, that you will open our hearts to receive your message today. I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. All right, listen, the laws of spiritual work. Have you ever grown tired of doing good? I have. I'm going to be honest. I get tired of doing good sometimes. I get worn out. Look, doing good stuff is hard work when everybody else seems to be against you on it. Praise the Lord. Come on, you're trying to do right and everybody and everything comes up against you. All right. Well, we read in John 4 that Jesus was faint. Man, he was working hard that day. Praise the Lord. So the disciples went to purchase food. When they returned, however, they were astonished at the change in him. See, spiritual work can energize you. Spiritual work can quicken your spirit. I have food to eat for which you do not know. From this passage with its images, we may discover several laws of spiritual work. Number one, spiritual work is refreshing to the soul and the body. Let me repeat that again. Spiritual work is refreshing to the soul and the body. John 4:34, as we were reading, says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Listen, when you got the will of God in your heart and the desire to fulfill it, you got spiritual food. Suddenly you've got a divine supernatural energy that food on earth can't sustain you. Okay? You need this kind of food to do the will of God. Praise the Lord. If we love spiritual work, it will kindle our souls. The word kindle is defined as one to build or fuel a fire. If you love spiritual work, if you love spiritual work. See, some people don't love spiritual work. They love the results of spiritual work. Praise God, the praise of other people, right? To be seen. But if you love spiritual work, you put all that aside, okay? The word kindle is defined as to set fire to ignite. I told you I was on fire today, didn't I? I've been eating my food. Amen. Praise the Lord. To cause to glow, light up. The sunset kindles the sky. Listen, when you're on fire for God and you got your spiritual food, you walk into a room and the place glows with Jesus. Praise God. They can't ignore that kind of kindling, can they? Listen, people know when you've been eating your spiritual food, okay, because they see you on fire. All right, number two, there are seasons in the spiritual sphere of sowing and reaping, just as in farming. The season. See, some of you guys want to plant the seed right now. Wake up tomorrow and have your harvest due. Doesn't work that way. Listen, John 4:35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Listen, Christ is talking here. He's trying to tell his disciples that there is a time to sow some seeds and there is a time to do some harvesting. Amen. So you could be out witnessing to somebody at work, family member, a neighbor in your neighborhood, a friend, anything like that. And you might think, I'm wasting my time. But what you're doing is you're planting seeds in their heart. And the Lord can bring somebody else, or maybe you, back to that person and plant more seeds and water that seed until they come to the kingdom of God and they start to grow spiritual fruits. But there is a season. In order to reap a harvest, Christians must be patient when sowing. Man, some of you guys just got to have it yesterday. Some of you guys just got to have it all. Whew. As soon as I do it, I want to see a result. But listen to what James chapter 5:7 says. Be patient, therefore. Everybody say, be patient. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Listen, man, I'm telling you, you go out there and you do some spiritual work and it is from the Lord. Somebody's got to come along and rain upon it, water it, right? Give it some nourishment. Just because you're talking about God to your friends doesn't mean that your friends are just going to wake up and become Christians. The Lord's got to come along and talk with them through other people and water that seed. But don't be impatient thinking that what you've got to say to God, or about God, I should say, is going to waste. You scatter enough seeds, you're going to see a harvest. But you got to be patient. You got to be willing to wait for it. We must also be persistent and not give up when sowing. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Listen, you can't give up. The devil wants you to give up. He wants to tell you, stop going to church. Just quit. You're not seeing any fruits from this. You're not seeing any blessings from this. Just stop talking about Jesus. Nobody's listening to you. That's a lie. He's trying to steal your blessing. He's trying to keep you out of church so people won't pray for you. He's trying to keep you out of church so you won't pray for people. He's trying to stop you. But we know that in what? Due season. Everybody say it. Due season. We got to do some planting. But we live in a microwave society today. All right, so we must also be persistent and not give up when sowing. The devil wants you to quit sowing. Satan often steals blessings by getting people impatient. I'm going to tell you something. Satan will come to you and he will mess with you in your patience because he knows that your patience will make you act out of the will and timing of God. Once he's got you acting out of the will and timing of God, he's got you. He's got you because you're impatient. Peter said, I go fishing when he was told to wait. Praise the Lord. Impatience can cause us to step out of God's will and timing for our lives. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Satan can mess with you. He can mess with you. You got to listen to God, not him. Third, spiritual work links the workers in unity. Listen, when everybody's doing the will of God and everybody's on the timing of God, we have unity. When everyone's doing it for God, we have unity. When you got somebody in the group that's not doing it for God, you got disunity. You've got a broken link. Listen what John 4:36, and this is the key verses that we're going through. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. Where Satan likes to separate those out of the church, Christ is a God of unity. He wants us to work in unison. He wants everybody to be rejoicing together. Just because you're doing something for God doesn't make you a big shot. It means that you got to be out in the front of everybody and waving your own flag and saying, look at me, I'm a worker for God, while your team is left behind. Man, you got to have union, son. Satan likes to separate those out of the church. He likes to come up to somebody and say, hey, you're more special to God than everybody else. You're more important. You deserve to be in the spotlight. Break away from your team and go solo. Man, it is not good for man to be alone. Amen. That's where Satan wants you, alone, separated, out of church, away from praying people. Get you away so you can't pray for people. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. See, listen, not only did God make Eve for Adam, but they had offspring. They had sons and daughters that could help them too. That helper just isn't one person. God brought people into your life to help you. And pride will shut you down real quick. Pride will run the people out of your life that are trying to help you. Pride will shut you down so quick and leave you alone with Satan, laughing at you when you've got no one and nothing to show for all of your work for the kingdom. He'll get you thinking you're doing something good for God out there by yourself, all proud of yourself. And you ain't doing nothing for God. Peter tried to stop him from going to the cross. You would think that's a good thing to save somebody's life. And Jesus rebuked him, calling him Satan. Listen, you could be doing something for God and it could be the wrong thing if he didn't tell you to do it. If he told you to do it with others and you're breaking from the pack, that ain't God's will. He wants to be with you in the midst, in union, son. Christians and churches are not in competition with one another. Rather, we are all linked by God. Christians are all on the same team. Remember the disciples complaining that John's disciples were baptizing? And Jesus said, do not forbid them, for anyone who is for me cannot be against me. Now, he didn't tell his disciples to go over there and help them baptize, did he? You stay at your station. You join the military, what do? You stay in the branch of the military they put you in. You might be on the same team, but you've got a station to man. So when they say all personnel to your battle stations, you know where you're supposed to go. because you're at the station that you were assigned. So we're all on the same team, but the Lord disperses us where he needs us to be at. Okay? These are the laws of spiritual work. No one is an island, right? When we help one another, we should see it as helping Christ. He is our high priest. We are all under him. Listen, I have a lot of people that come here and help the church. That means they're helping you too. They're not just helping me. They're helping all of us. Praise the Lord. But the reason why some of them are better at it than others is because they don't look at it like they're helping me. They look at it as if they're helping Jesus. If you start getting your viewpoint in the service of God that I'm doing something for him and not for myself and not for others, but you're doing it for him, you're on the right track because people will let you down. Listen, if you start doing stuff to impress people or even to help people without Christ in the middle of that, people are going to let you down. They're not going to appreciate what you're doing. So what if they don't appreciate this church? I'm still going to do it because Jesus told me to do it. I'm not trying to impress Jesus. I'm not trying to impress any of you. I'm trying to do what God told me to do, because if I'm not doing what God told me to do, I'm out of the will that he has for my life and I'm in trouble. If one person shows up to listen and the Lord keeps these doors open, I will sit here and I will preach. As long as the Lord tells me to do it, he is my high priest. Praise the Lord. And that is a spiritual law. That is a law. If you're listening to anybody else besides the high priest when you're working for the kingdom, you're breaking the law. Jesus, the Lord, high priest, speaks to the pastor, and the pastor speaks to the flock and speaks to his ministers. If you do not submit to that authority, you are breaking the law. I didn't say this. The Bible teaches this. Amen. We have to have order in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 5:10 says, being designated by God a high priest after the order of who? Melchizedek. Okay, number four. Spiritual work has rich rewards. Ooh, you like that, don't you? I like rewards. Raise your hand if you like rewards. The rest of you are liars. I like rewards. I like it when God gives me something. I'm not going to lie. And you know what? It don't hurt him anything to give me anything. Praise the Lord. He's got plenty of stuff to give, doesn't he? Shoot, I'm not a fool. I'll take it. And look, Jesus is talking about it in our key verse. John 36:38, chapter 4 says, already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Woo, praise God. Listen to this. We got this church because somebody else set it up. Somebody else labored. They left this stuff behind. We joined into that labor and we are reaping where we did not sow. This stuff that you're sitting on, these pews, this stage, we got it for free. It was valued at $30,000. We got it free. We are reaping where we did not sow. The Lord sent somebody else to work this ground. But we've entered into their labor by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're reaping where we did not labor. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty, rich, powerful, loving, generous God. And if you get into the will of God, there is nothing and nothing that no one that can stop you. Oh, wait a minute. Except for one person. You. You can stop you. You can stop you. You can say, I'm not going to do it. You can say, I don't believe all of that. Well, I don't know what else could make you believe other than you see the miracle before you now. But we serve a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We serve a God that never runs out of resources. We serve a God who is true to his word. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. We are reaping where we did not sow. We sowed into another ground and the Lord brought us to a new ground that somebody else worked. Praise God. Unlike worldly jobs, working for Christ has eternal rewards. You can get a promotion at your job. You can get a pat on the back at your job. You can get recognition at your job. You can get a lot of money at your job. You cannot get eternal rewards. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have the eternal reward. Christ is our eternal reward. He gives himself to us in a relationship because he loves us. He cares about us. I don't know about you guys, but I like the idea that God loves me because there's too many people out there that don't love me. So when Jesus says he loves me, it makes me feel good about myself because I can come to him just as I am. And that in itself is an eternal reward that I am reaping. And it's a spiritual law of the spiritual work that we do for Jesus. Don't ever forget this. Because if you, listen, you can do spiritual work in the church. And your spirit is not lined up with the Lord. And you will reap what you sow. Because if you're trying to get a pat on the back from other people, assuredly I say you have your reward already. It's gone. You lost it. You got it with the pat on the back you were looking for. And don't kid yourself. There are a lot of people that serve churches. And they do it because they want to be seen. They do it because they want to be noticed. Praise the Lord. We can't fall into that trap. That's a trap of Satan. Working for God brings many rewards now and in his kingdom to come. It's not just all at the time that we meet Jesus. He's got rewards for you now, but you have to be patient. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." You are serving the Lord Christ. We don't want to look at people when we're doing stuff. We don't want to be bragging that I go to church and I don't miss any days. We don't want to brag to people how much we read in our Bibles. We don't want to brag about what we do here at church. What the Lord sees you do in secret, he will openly reward. Praise God. I want the reward that the Lord Jesus Christ, who I serve, has for me, because he's got a better reward than any person could ever give. And it's going to last. One of the rewards we receive from spiritual work is the actual work itself. Praise God. I love working for God. I've done a lot of things in my life. I used to program video games for a company. I used to be a computer teacher at 3 colleges. I used to own a business. I used to own another business. I used to do all kinds of stuff, web design, you name it. I like this. I love this. I love what I do. I love what I do. And I couldn't see myself doing anything else. This is my reward now. That I love what I do. Find something you like to do for God and keep doing it. Don't let anybody or anything stop you. If the Lord told you to do it. Okay, listen to this. Laws of spiritual work. Number 5, God will test every work. Y'all thought that there was no test in this, right? God will test every work. Jeremiah 17:10, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." Listen, you ain't fooling God. I'm not fooling God. We're not fooling God. I'm going to tell you something. God knows what you're thinking in your heart. He knows what's going on up here when you're doing stuff for him. He knows what your motives are. He will test it. He will test it. And I'm going to tell you something. When you stand before him, he's going to know everything you said, everything that you did, and he will test it by fire. He will test it by fire. God knows our hearts and our motives. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:13, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Ooh, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what should. And I don't want to scare you. I want to motivate you. I want you to get your heart straight with what God is trying to do in your life. It's not the size of the church, but the heart of the church that God is looking at. I started in a one-bedroom apartment before I met my beautiful wife, Terry, and I was doing recordings for people who enjoyed listening to my preaching. Before I knew it, they were buying me computers and microphones and everything I needed to make more recordings for them and their friends. I didn't plan it. I didn't seek after it. The Lord just led me into it. Next thing I know, I'm on the radio preaching to tens of thousands of people down in Texas. And now I'm all over the internet. I don't say this to boast. I say this because the Lord started me in humble beginnings, and I was stuck there for years before I got on the radio. I didn't know where it was going, but I knew God told me to do it. And I obeyed. I listened. And I kept on sowing. And he opened the doors in due season. He even brought me a helpmate, my wife. I can't do this church without her. I'm humble enough to realize that. All right, listen. Each one's work will become manifest. Listen, God's going to reveal it. Listen, you guys know that you've done some things that you thought was all good for God, but really you did it for a pat on the back. We've all done it. And God's going to show that to you one day. See this? Let's put it in the fire and see if it makes it through. There's going to be some stuff that I've done that's going to get burnt up. Man, I'm not perfect. Praise the Lord. It only takes a moment for your heart to get misaligned. Just a moment. Look at me. I'm doing this. Oops. What's that burning smell? Oop, the Lord is burning up my work. That doesn't mean he can't use what you've done. Glory be to God. It just means you lost your reward for doing it because your motives. Now, let's put this in the perspective for human beings. You got somebody you care about, and they do something for you, but they don't do it because they care about you. They do it because they want to look good. How does that make you feel? Well, you didn't do that for my sake. You did that because everybody else was watching. You did that for your own sake. Makes you feel small, doesn't it? Let's not try to make God feel small, because he's not small. He's a very big God, and he can take care of himself. He can take care of you if you let him. All right. Conclusion. God will reward all we do. Everybody say all. Did that say a little bit of what we do? Okay, listen. God will reward all we do and all we try to do and all we wish to do. So why not ask him for something to do today? Today, when you leave here, I want your prayer to be, God, show me what I can do. Show me what I can do, God, for the kingdom. Show me what I can do.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.